Why only Jesus? Why is salvation only in Jesus Christ? Why didn't God establish a couple of different ways, a dozen different ways to eternal life? Why is the Christian faith exclusive on this point? Why is faith in Jesus Christ, not works or other religious acts, the only way? Why only Jesus? Why? Today I want to look at 1 John 5, 19 through 13, and at what John had to say when he wrote, "And this is the testimony, God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." That's what we're going to look at today. You know, if John had been a good ecumenical 21st century Christian, he would have written the first part, yes. He would have written, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, and whoever has the Son has life," and would have ended it there. He would have affirmed that whoever has the Son has eternal life. But he wouldn't have gone any further. But John, not being a good ecumenical 21st century Christian, but rather being a first century disciple of our Lord and Savior, added, "Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." What did he mean when he wrote these words? Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day, so that we, Your people, may always feel and sense Your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us Your word by which You mold and shape our living. For we need Your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday night, we had a wonderful time. Those who were able joined us for our second part of the two-part sermon seminar that we held over here in the fellowship hall. It was a wonderful experience to go through the lectionary and to look at the scriptures appointed for each Sunday and to assign a scripture to each person and to give them 20 minutes to go through the passage and determine the basic theme and the basic concept or point or thrust of the passage. And it was a wonderful experience to get to know that in the congregation we've got a lot of wonderful, budding, excellent preachers. From folk like Jim, who we already know about, and Tim and several others, and Dalton, to people like our wonderfully new Billy. Huh? Yeah. Yes, Billy could graduate from lay speaker school without even having to go to a class. I mean, it was a wonderful experience to get to know that we have people who are willing to open themselves to what God may be saying through Scripture. And it can often be so very difficult when you're reading the Scripture week after week, preparing to preach. It can be so very difficult to look there and to allow God's Holy Spirit to guide one in preparing a sermon. And so I wanted several members of the congregation, I'd love to have had more, come and to experience what it's like to read a passage and then allow God to speak through it to us. There were three questions I posed. And if many of you had been listening during preaching over the last year and 3 months, you would have known that I frequently pose these questions to Scripture and preach on them, sometimes not asking the questions directly here in the sanctuary, but in my preparation. And I want to do that today. A wonderful way to get your hand around, to get your mind around, to get your spirit around, to get your preaching gears, if you will, around a passage of Scripture is to ask some basic questions of it. Firstly, what does this passage tell us about God? Secondly, what does this passage tell us about human beings, our condition, who we are, and what we need? And thirdly, what does this passage tell us to do? Those are three excellent questions. What does it tell us about God? What does it tell us, about humanity, about our condition? And thirdly, what does this passage tell us to do? And so in preparing my message for this week, I thought what a better way to illustrate that and bring these three questions into play with these verses from 1 John. What does this passage from 1 John tell us about God? I'm going to read a portion of that passage again. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He has testified to His Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made Him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. What does this passage tell us about God? God the Father is not a liar. God the Father gives testimony to Jesus concerning Jesus being our only source of eternal life. And this source of eternal life is obtained through faith in Jesus. That's what this passage tells us about God. God is not a liar. God is trustworthy. God can be depended upon to do what He says. God can be trusted that when He makes a promise, He keeps it. God can be trusted. That's what this passage tells us about God. God can be trusted. God can be trusted with our faith. God can be trusted with our eternal souls. And if we can trust God with our eternal souls, we can trust God with every aspect of our living. From our family, from our children, from our parents, to our pocketbooks, to our patriotism, if you will, to every aspect of our lives, yes, even this church. We can trust God with all the things of this life. He is not a liar. His testimony to His Son and about His Son is true. And what He says, He means. And what He says is true. That's what this passage firstly indicates about God. That God is not a liar. He is trustworthy. What does this passage tell us? About our human condition, about humanity? Well, it tells us that we frequently make God out to be a liar. We are untrustworthy. As trustworthy as God is, and He is eternally trustworthy, we are untrustworthy. We fail. We sin. We stumble. We go our own way. We deny the message. We fabricate testimonies. We try to lie and make God out to be a liar through our lies. God is trustworthy. We are untrustworthy. We make God into a liar when we deny the testimony about His Son. When we attempt to make other pathways to glory, when we attempt to make our own path a glorious one. When we focus attention on ourselves and not on God, when we seek works for our own righteousness' sake, to make others think we're good, we make God out to be a liar. When we seek to save ourselves by being good, we make God out to be a liar. I would love to be able to say that there are many ways to Jesus. There are many ways to glory. There are many ways to God the Father. And you can pick and choose the way you want. But when push comes to shove, the gospel is clear. The Bible is loud on the fact that there is only one way. And that is having the power of the life of the Son of God in you. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world so that God could have out of the world those whom He wants. And it pains me to say this, but God doesn't want just anybody. Now, Jesus dying for the sins of the whole world means that God can have anybody He wants. But He doesn't want just anybody. He wants those who will trust Him. He wants those who will have faith in Him. He wants those whom He knows will accept the message of the testimony, the gospel about His Son. He wants those who will receive Jesus into their lives. He wants those who will have faith in Him. Not those who can do good works. Not those who can preach good sermons. Not those who can quote chapter and verse of the Bible. Not those whose lives appear to be perfect and wonderful. Not those who are popular. Not those who are rich. Not even those who give lots of money. God wants those who will trust Him, who will have faith in the name of His Son, who will trust in Jesus only for salvation, for eternal life. God wants those who will trust Him. We, in our human condition, fail. We are incapable of doing God's commands by our own strength and power, and it is only by the grace of God that we can even have faith in Jesus. It is only by the gift of God's grace going before us that we can even have faith in Jesus Christ. That's our human condition, friends. What does this passage tell us to do? Very simple, to have faith in Jesus, to have and exercise belief in the Son of God. And that means hanging your life on the promises of God. That means trusting that when He says it, He means it and will do it. And God will. Today is a very simple message. And yet it's a message that we hear and don't hear and need to hear again and again and again. God is trustworthy. We are not. But by God's grace, we are called to have faith in His Son, trust in His Word, and accept Christ into our lives. It's a simple message, but it's a message that we so frequently forget with the busyness of the life of the church. The message about faith. Not as a passive belief, but as an active, trusting relationship with God the Father. One that you can hang your life on. One that you can rest your behind in. I use the illustration of the chair. I mean, this is even better than a wooden chair, isn't it? Looks good. Sounds stable. It's made out of solid wood. It's held me a bunch of times already. Tell Jim. Tell Janet. You know what? I think that chair will hold my weight. Not only do I think it, I believe it. I believe it with all my heart that this chair will hold my weight. But you know what? I think I'm just going to go sit down over here. Now, is that faith in that chair? No. Shake your heads, no. That is not faith in that chair. It's belief that the chair will hold me, but it's passive belief. It's not a belief that was put into action by my sitting down in the chair. Faith entails placing your life in the balance. Faith entails putting your body, your spirit, your soul, your mouth, your hands, your feet into action on the promises of God. Spiritual faith, faith in Jesus Christ, means we trust in His Word and we step out in faith, trusting that He will enable us to obey and to live the life He calls us to live. Faith in this chair means not just that I believe it'll hold me, but that I'm actually willing to sit down in the chair. I just exercised faith in this chair. I acted on my belief that it would hold me. That's more faith. It's really holding me completely now. I could jump up and down on it. That's faith, friends. Acting on my belief. Faith in Jesus Christ means we act on our belief in Him, on our belief in His name, in our belief on His promises, in our belief that He is trustworthy, that He is true to His Word, that He will keep His promises to us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We turn and we go away. We turn our back on God and try to run away, but God will never leave us. We will leave Him. We will try to desert Him. We will go away. We will try to go our own way. But if only we will turn, confess our sin, He will receive us back. And if we act in faith, He will put His life in us again. If we run, He is there. We cannot run away. It is impossible to run far away from God. We can turn our back. We can pretend He's not there. But He is. And all we have to do is have faith in Him, trust in His promises, and accept Him again in our lives. That's what worship is about. Trusting that He meets us here, where two or three are gathered together, there He is in the midst of us. That's what reading the Word is about. When we read the Scriptures, we know He is present through His inspiration by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the sacraments are about. When we receive the bread and when we receive the juice by faith, we know that Christ is formed in our hearts by faith. We are reconnected. We are remembered to the body of Christ. We receive again that real presence which is able to save our souls if we act in faith. What focus of faith do you need today? What focus of faith do you need to trust in God? To deny the human bent to sin and to act in faith? My friends, come to the table of the Lord today, open to receiving anew the wonderful grace of God. Open to focusing on His presence here. Open to receiving Him afresh by faith in your hearts. Put your lives, your bodies, your spirits into motion and live by faith. God is not a liar. You can trust in the promises of God. receive into your lives the eternal life of Jesus today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.